John chapter 8, and we'll be looking at the first 11 verses this morning. The title of this service this morning is Listen to Yourself. And I believe if we can get that across this morning, we will be done what God has called us to do on this day. But before we go any further, will we pray that God will add His riches and His blessings to us from His living Word this morning. Let us pray. Father, I am so grateful to stand in the one of so great. Father, I pray this morning, O Lord, that Your strength will be saw through me. And Lord, I pray today, O God, that I am nothing but an earthen vessel that was made from clay, but God, You are the potter. And Lord, we know that You can mold and shape the clay. Lord, sometime even break it to get Your job done. Father, I pray today, Lord, that You would have Thine own way in this multitude of people. Lord, there are so many different things going on here this morning. There are those who are just about at their wits' end with finances. There are some here this morning who are holding on by a thread, even thinking about divorcement. Lord, there are those that are here this morning who are lost and undone. They've never experienced You in their heart. Father, there are those who have been saved and baptized and even took membership, and they just feel like they're all alone. They feel like maybe perhaps they've even been forsaken. Those who have asked time and time again through prayer, but have not received an answer. Or there are those who are here and they're ready to give up. But there are here today many different kinds of people. Because God, You have made us uniquely different. Fashioned us even in our mother's womb to have a purpose in this life. And that is to serve and Almighty God. Father, I pray today that through this service, You will use Your servant and that You will preach through me with authority and power that pierces the heart of man. And Lord, that we may leave this place saying it has surely been good to be in the house of God today. And may my life be changed for the better good because of it. For it is in the name of the One who died for us, Jesus. Amen. This morning, I want to be short and sweet with you. Some of you are smiling already. O ye of little faith of what God can do. Not I, but God. It is not of I, but it is of Him. This morning, and well, you know, God, I really do believe that God does have a sense of humor. I really do believe it. I believe even we find in Proverbs, it is good to laugh. I mean, I can look at Brother Todd Browder and know that God has a sense of humor. It had been a while, brother. I want you to know that I still love you. But God does, and He expects you. Laughter is good therapy. It's good for the soul. But I'll tell you what the best thing, best ingredient is for your soul today, and that's for Jesus Christ to come in and invade and take over your soul. And boy, I trust today. This, you know, this morning, I had not practiced that prayer. Pretty obvious, isn't it? But God just laid it on my heart. And I believe everyone who was mentioned in every case, there's that applied to one of you this morning. So, let God work through you and lead you and take you down the path that will bring you to the place to where you know that God really does love you. Listen to yourself. Look with me in the first couple of verses, and I will read on through verse 11 in just a moment, but look at the first few verses. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. Remember, that's the place in which He was betrayed. Kind of funny that that was His favorite place to go. And it's kind of ironic that that's the place that many theologians and scholars declare that when His feet does hit the ground the second time, You know, when Jesus comes back and meets us in the air, he actually doesn't come to earth the second time. We meet him in the clouds. But the second time that his feet hit the ground, now it will be time for God's wrath to be poured out on those who are his adversaries. And that place in which he is to be is the Mount of Olives. Mount of Olives is a very, very, very special and sacred place. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. She was caught. Now, let your minds run with me for a moment. There are many people that you know this morning, or you can at least call one by name, that you see them living, and they are not holy, righteous people. But you know, and I know, that these people seem to get away with murder. Nothing ever seems to tear up. Where you serve God, and your automobile, you can barely keep it running. And theirs seems to never have a flaw. It's almost like you have to cut your grass every 3 days because you have that forked grass, which is of the devil, I do believe. It is only fitting. But you mow that baby, and the next morning she's standing back up. That is evil. But these folks seem to have the prettiest centipede on the block, and they only have to cut it once every 2 to 3 weeks. Don't you just hate that? Or you see to where your children may be running back and forth to the doctor in this time of year due to the weather change, and they seem to have everything under control. You see them, you talk to them, but you wonder why it is that they're not serving a holy God, but seems like everything is holy in their life. I wonder that, do you? But then there are times to where I've had my fill, and I see these people, and it's almost like they come in and they get the front seat. Not in church by no means, but perhaps at some other event. And I want to know this morning your heart just for a moment. Have you ever, ever, ever wished harm upon them? Now let's be honest this morning. Now, the dignified Christian holy answer this morning will be, no, sir, preacher. But you mean to tell me that they got your seat and you did not wish upon them, oh, I wish they would fiddle a tack. The laughter tells me that it's common. It happens, doesn't it? Not that you wish any death or major sickness upon them, not hell by no means, but just that something imperfect would happen to the perfect, it would seem. Or maybe when someone was walking across the stage in that beauty contest, and you know you were the prettiest thing there, and you wonder why they're being placed ahead of you. Maybe because they had more talent. I always thought a beauty contest was based upon beauty. But I believe sometimes it is certainly not based upon look. It's based upon giving the right answer or singing the right song or playing the right instrument. My sister was in them for years. But I wonder, have you ever saw the second place or the first place walk across the stage and you say, oh, I wish those 10-inch heels would hang up some kind of way. You wished harm upon them. You wanted to see justice served in a little, small, minute way. Now, if you've ever done that kind of thing, will you raise your hand? Ooh. You better raise them if it... All right. Half of this congregation is honest and on their way to heaven, I really do believe. Woo! You know you've wished them. You've seen, let me go to the boys just for a minute because this is going to be short and sweet. You've seen someone who had a four-wheel drive truck, all right, who doesn't have any money in it hardly whatsoever, and you have spent your life's earnings and all that was inherited to you to get those 44s or that lift kit or that engine that would push you through the mud. And you see a little Toyota coming out of nowhere running circles around you. Don't you tell me you wish they wouldn't fall in the rut some kind of way to where that truck would drown and spare their life. Just where their cab would be flush with the mud and they could stand on it waiting on you to come and get them. Now, raise your hands if you've done anything like that. The other half is saved and on their way to heaven. All right. Now, but now, I brought you to this point. Like all good speakers try to do, all right? Try and attempt. Listen to yourself. That's what I want you to do this morning. If you can listen to yourself and maybe watch the way you do things, which we cannot, other people have that opportunity to listen to you and see you much more frequently than you will ever hear or see yourself. And I believe if we could, maybe if we saw ourselves on a home video, you say, I want like that. You would try to change it. Maybe because it doesn't look like a very cool wall. Or you mean to tell me I sound like that on video? Boy, I believe I need to start speaking in a little bit deeper tone of voice. Or maybe I need to just change that appearance about me. It would make you aware of yourself. And without awareness, we are not willing sometimes to change the very imperfections in our life. So I want you to listen to yourself. What was going on? Let me paint a picture for you. We see where Jesus, the Son of God, is going out to the Mount of Olives to seek His Father's face, to study to show thyself approved, comes back into the temple, and He is there teaching the people, sitting and teaching them how to live and how to further the kingdom of God, how to get right and how to live a righteous life. But then, not only do the Pharisees and the scribes come into the area in which God is functioning with people, but here we find an interruption, a disruption, and corruption in the very presence of the Son of God. Now, wait a minute, preacher. These people are very religious. Yes, they are. But religion will not secure your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is your belief in Jesus Christ that will secure your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do not get caught up in religious acts or religious titles. The Pharisees were considered by Jesus Himself as hypocrites. And hypocrites are those who profess to be one thing or another. They're putting on an act. And I declare to you this morning, don't let people who go to church and who seem to be unholy stop you from coming back. Because they are not hypocritical, but they maybe are here in hopes that they will be changed by His presence. That does not make them a hypocrite. What makes one a hypocrite is when they say, I am this, and they live like that. That's a hypocrite. But don't you dare leave this sanctuary saying, yeah, I seen old so-and-so there. Well, that doesn't make them a hypocrite. Have they declared to be one thing and live in another? Or are they just in the very presence of God this morning in hopes that they may be changed like maybe you need to be? Get the hypocrite part straight. Because truth be known, it's a lie if you call it any other. Listen to yourself. Now, they go in and they interrupt Jesus and what He's doing. Satan will use this tool in every church, in every meeting, in every family to interrupt their strife. You know as well as I do, we can have a walk on water kind of day on Sunday. But then on Monday morning, oh, here comes Monday. What are we going to do tomorrow? Well, we walk on water kind of faith. We have to have faith. We have to stay with God. Don't just leave God in the sanctuary and walk out and live your life. You have to listen to yourself in order to stay in tune with God. Don't interrupt what He's trying to do. Secondly, there's a disruption. I look at it this way. If someone were to come in here like the scribes and Pharisees right now, and we're trying to teach and preach the living Word of God, if they busted in the doors right now, just corruption, walk in, say, listen, this lady was caught in the very act of adultery. Caught with another man. There's a time and a place for everything. Don't lose sight of that. But this is not the time, nor is this the place to handle matters like that. It interrupts Jesus in what He was trying to get across. It also disrupts the body of those who were trying to listen to Him. And not only that, but it corrupted the very purpose of them meeting. It tainted it. It changed the very appearance. Those people did not leave that day focusing on what Jesus said. They focused on the negativity, and that is what the Pharisee and scribe brought that day with them. Believe you me, and you know as well as I do, nobody ever pats you on the back for doing good, but they'll slap you on the cheek with any and everything you do wrong. People are looking for fault in you. And when they're not talking about you, it is perhaps that they have found good in you and they're not man or woman enough to tell you about it. So don't think that you're not doing good just because people aren't telling you. Just know that only those people are so capable of only describing the bad things, and they're not capable because of their pride to tell you about the good things. Oh, how we need people to voice those good things that people do. Let's keep it together. Let's keep it in tune. And let's don't let the interruptions and the disruptions and the corruptions that come from out there in here try to intertwine or take part in what God is trying to do through us. Focus and listen to yourself. That being said, verse 5, after this lady has been caught in the act of adultery. Now Moses in the law commanded us, this is the Pharisees and the scribes, telling Jesus about the law of Moses, that such should be stoned, but what sayest thou? What are you going to do about this, O great teacher? Because the law of Moses has been handed down to us, what are you going to do? And that is the law of Moses. That is what God told Moses to do. It's in Leviticus, it's in Deuteronomy. And you find it in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10. It is to be stoned anyone who was caught in the very act. There it implies a man being caught with a woman, but vice versa, both are adulterers. And here they say, but we know the law. We're pretty sure that you know the law, but what are you going to do about it? I love Jesus. Don't think you're supposed to be weak, you're supposed to be meek. There is no such thing as weak Christians. There are those who are defeated Christians because we do not take Him at all that He says in Him. But, friend, you are more than conquerors through Christ. There is no greater force in this land than the ones who have had the blood applied to your soul. But Jesus tells them, watch this here in verse 6, okay? Go with me in verse 6. After they've questioned Him, this they said, tempting Him, Their ulterior motive is not pure. They are not there seeking help for this woman who has committed adultery. They are there tempting him to see what he's going to do about it. I can tell you many times we've been wrote up for safety violations in these meals our people have. And you can tell me one thing. And Mr. Word, you can tell me about this. Many of us can tell about these safety things. If a safety coordinator and his job is to enforce safety, it is not to enforce safety so that he or she will look good. It is so that the man or woman, boy or girl, will go home in the good condition that they showed up in. That is the reason. But that is not the way it is used in many cases. Because I will tell you this, if a man is hanging off the side of a building, and he does not have his harness strapped onto whatever he is close to, they run all the way to the front office 2 miles away and go tell somebody, doing this here, you know, that little brown nosy thing. Let me tell you what I saw. And this is a safety coordinator. Some of you may be safety coordinators, but I know you're the real deal, holy field. But here's the thing. You go up there and they go and tell somebody way up there what's going on way out there. When they should have done their job, and their job was to be concerned and express their concern to the one who was hanging unsafely and tell them, you need to tie off lest you fall and die. The motives of that individual were not pure. And we've had it happen several times over. Now, of course, it is our nature to buck up and respond to when we are being confronted. That is just our instinct. But my only question that I leave them with is this. What if my man would have fallen in the 45 minutes that it took for your safety coordinator to go and brown nose in your office what's going on in the field? That individual needs to get a different thought process. That individual needs to listen to themselves and understand if you're here for safety, enforce it. Don't run around trying to get brownie points or tempt someone else. Their motives are not pure. Their motives are not focused on the task that is at hand. And it is so easy for us with good intentions and our motives to get foggy and unclear to where we lose sight of the job that has been given to us. Do your job and do it well. That's all you need to know. Listen to yourself. But here, they are tempting him. And they, look in verse 6, and they might have to excuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. He does this twice. Ready? Stay with me and we'll close. He does this once, he does this twice in just a minute. Nobody knows exactly what he writes or why exactly he is taking this method to confront these Pharisees and scribes. But if you will indulge with me just for a moment, I want to share with you why he has stooped down this first time. The first time he stoops down, and obviously by the word of God, and we'll read it in just a moment, turns his back to those people where he does not see them. Not even the accusers, nor the one who was accused. And he says nothing and writes in the ground. What is he writing? I'd love to know. I will know, but I don't know. He's writing there in the ground. But look at this part, as though he heard them not. I believe that this particular time that he's writing in the ground, he is giving them an opportunity to listen to themselves. Thank you, brother. We're good for one more hour. Oh, God help us. Amen. Some of you not even going to the baptism anyhow, so I'm going to hold you here till now. Here we go. All right, here we go. Did I tell the truth? Okay, I got a couple of things. As though he heard them not. He gives them an opportunity. You know how I get some of my best sermons if I've ever had one? It's because I was talking to someone about them and I heard them before I ever preached. Joe, it's happened with me and you. Me and Joe's burned some midnight oil before. I don't know what we got accomplished, but it was fun, wasn't it, Joe? Always wanting to go to Vetus and eat a Mac Attack. I don't know why. But we've done it, and the more we would talk, the more it would be revealed unto us what it is God was trying to do. You understand that might be why Hebrews 10:25 applies, not forsaking the assembling of thyself together. Because a lot of time you're not going to talk to the people you work with about God a whole lot because you're shy and timid and afraid you might get fired and afraid of what they might think about you. So therefore, you're going to talk in fellowship with those who are Christian believers. And you're going to find more of that statistically in the house of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? But you listen to yourself. He gives them an opportunity to speak. But in verse 7, so when they continuing asked, he lifted up himself and said unto them, this is Jesus, he said, that he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. This is the message. Those people that I wanted to see sit on a tank, those people that I wanted to see get their 10-inch or 12-inch or ever how big they're getting now, 16-inch heels hung up, those who I wanted to see their gun jam or their truck get stuck, it happens. Well, really, I should take a moment. What it is, I've got my focus on them not succeeding. More so when I'm condemning them. I want to see condemnation fall down upon them so that they may not succeed and do as well as they have been doing. Where in return, Jesus Christ in this passage declares, let's don't focus on condemning people, but let's focus on the conviction of God in their life. That is what He wants them to see. So, if I had to guess this morning, I would say, judge not, lest ye be judged. Condemn not, lest you be condemned. And stop focusing on the condemning that you're doing here, and focus on the conviction that should be taking place, not only in this lady, but in those who have brought this charge into my presence. So he says, now, after getting up from the ground, he says, okay. The one of you who does not have sin in your life, you pick up the first rock that you want to be thrown at her. See, it was not so much that he wanted the law of Moses to be fulfilled, but it was that he wanted to see her be condemned because he is holier than thou and she is a wretched sinner and she deserves nothing but death. But he forgot one thing. That was then. And Jesus did not come to change the law, but he came in order that it may be fulfilled. And he said, and a part of that fulfillment is this, that she will not be stoned on this day, but because you're standing in the sacrifice of God for all of lost man, you will not throw a rock at her today. Because you and her are no different. Because we all were born into this world as lost sinners, undone, in chains, captives of the bond of slavery. And Jesus said, I have come to set you free. You no longer need a rock. All you need is my blood. And this morning, we need to be convicted. We need to pray for God to convict us. Each and every one. That when you hear about somebody who didn't get it right, that tears begin to run down your face. We don't do that, do we? Unless they're
our blood or very close to us. But if I were to stand up here and tell you today that somebody died and went to hell yesterday, and they did, somebody did. But that doesn't seem to have a very big effect. Because sometimes if I'm not careful, I'm more caught up in condemning people in order to make me look good, instead of praying for God to put His convictions upon my life that I may see what other people need instead of what I want them to have. But here goes Jesus at His finest yet again, never ceasing to amaze them. He stoops back down in verse 8, and again He stooped down and wrote on the ground a second time. And they which heard it. You know what He's doing again the second time? He's not even looking at them. But He's giving them time this time to think it over. The first time was, just listen to what you're saying. I'm not even going to speak. Just repeat yourself. Because Lord knows you need some time to repeat what you say before you render it to somebody else. Wouldn't you love to be able to take those words back that you've expressed to people that you cannot take back now because you didn't take time to think about it? Or even secondly here, now that you've been confronted with the truth, sometimes we need to just stoop down and let people think about what they have been confronted with. Sometimes altar calls are too quick. Stand up, grab a hymn book, come if you need it. But sometimes I think we need to just sit a while. And nobody say a word and think about what we have been confronted with. And let God move as He pleases. But this is what I love. Verse 9, our key verse, you circle it, you mark it, write it down. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one. They come in as a group, but they leave one at a time. Every word in the Word of God is important. They come in as a group. You know how that's how people normally come when they got a complaint? Let us form a posse. Let us go together that we may be mightier than thou. Well, I don't care if you stand up 3 million. How many people is it that's going to stand there in the Battle of Armageddon when Jesus comes down and the blood in that valley will tread the bellies of the horses? That's a lot of blood, isn't it? It's a lot of opposition, isn't it? But God tells me that opposition through His will is nothing that a Christian cannot tread upon. By the way, we'll be with Him. Beginning at the eldest, even to the last, and Jesus was left alone. Watch this. Here it is. Here it is. We're done. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in His midst. Watch this. Look at the perfect picture that Jesus describes right here. That when we listen to ourselves, and when we have enough time to think about it, and when we leave the problems up to Jesus, it leaves a picture of God's love and also His judgment. Because, see, God's love is focused on the whole world, but He means it to be personal and intimate with you. But also, after given the opportunity of not accepting Christ into your life, it leaves a perfect picture in verse 9 that when all of the accusers and the reasons that you are blaming are left the room, it's going to be nobody but Jesus and you standing in His midst. And what will He say to you? And when Jesus lifted up Himself and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? They didn't. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Jesus, telling you, don't condemn, be convicted. And when all else has left the room, it's just you and Him. And He tells you this morning, like He taught, this is the living Word. What it said then, it says now, what it will always say. But see, there is a window that we are in. This is a window that you and I are living in right now. It's called mercy and grace. That's the window that you're looking out of. But one day, like the door that was shut on the ship with Noah, it was shut by God. There will be a door that will shut in this life. And no longer will there be a window of mercy and grace, but it will be the judging and the condemnation and the wrath of God when you and Him are standing in the room when there's no other thing. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, let me ask you a question. What if I'm right and you're wrong? Is it a chance worth taking? Because this message will ring in your ears for all of eternity and it will never end. And I ask you today, what do you have to do to receive it? What do you have to do for God to change you into one who condemns to one who convicts? Because you are more interested in seeing these people change and succeed than you are seeing them fail and never make it. Because our mentality and our hearts a lot of times say, they're going to get what's coming to them. When we should say, they should not get what is coming to them. We should pray that God would convict them, that God would help them, because lest they be condemned by an almighty God. We need not to condemn. We need not to judge. But we need to pray that they will change before He judges them. That is our mission. That is our job. But somehow or another, we have got confused and disoriented and deceived maybe by the father of deception that we are to judge and condemn and look for people to fail in order that it may lift us up. When you need to understand, if you will humble yourself before God, He said, I will exalt you. You want to be lifted high upon? One of my favorite songs is, I don't even know the guy who sings the song. My favorite songs in this life is He Raises Me Up. And when I'm on His shoulders, He lifts me up. He doesn't separate me from other believers, but He lifts me high above the cesspool of sin to where I don't see what is before my very face, but I can see what is to come. And it is the kingdom of God in what I should be working for and not just this very moment in which I stand. May God help us all that we stop condemning people. Even if it is the truth, it is not your job. Let God do His work and by all means let us do ours. For that is the way He designed it, and that is the only way it will work. Will you stand with me? Heads bowed, eyes closed. I'd rather not even sing a song this morning. I believe if God has spoke, He has already spoke. And I believe this morning that God may be awakening some of us. Maybe He has given us a different perspective. But I think that God has got a job done today in some hearts that I believe will produce and provide fruit of the Spirit for days to come. And may glory be to God. But I just want to ask you this morning, as you stand here this morning, if you feel like it is your need or purpose this morning to come and pray at an altar, why nobody's looking around, will you just stick your hand up for me? Won't you come right now?